Hey Steve, what's up? My name's Steve.
Hey Steve, what's up? My name's Steve.
You guys are listening to Hey Bro, Let's Kick It with your host Steve and Steve.
That's right. This week, bros, we're gonna kick it. What are we gonna kick it about, Steve?
I don't know. We've kicked it about a lot of different stuff on this show.
Yeah, man. We've really kicked it.
I mean, we kicked it about, hope you listened to our last episode where we kicked it about various forms of tape, scotch, duct, gaff, you know, video cassette.
Yeah, double-sided.
Because, you know, recorder, like a tape recorder.
Yeah, like worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All so, of it. So tape was covered. I feel like we really covered that just as good as we could.
Next week, I know, Steve, that we're kicking it about farming.
Yeah.
We're going to talk all the types of farming that you can do.
Like sustainable.
Yeah, like just like animal.
Like a plant.
Yeah. Farming.
Mineral.
Yeah.
Vegetable.
Like, are you getting government subsidies?
Yeah, I want to talk about methane reduction.
Mm-hmm. You and me both, Steve.
Yeah. So,
but, Steve.
What?
This week we're kicking it about Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering, crazy.
That's right. I know, right?
We kicked it once before about Magic the Gathering. We're back at it.
We are, because normal hosts of the podcast, Magic the Amateur, can't make it this week.
Nope.
So they know that our podcast, being a very popular podcast, they
it
asked
is
us
like
to a
top 10 podcast.
Top 10 podcast.
Last time I checked.
Sub in for them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that then we could kick it about Magic while they're out this week.
Yeah, let's kick it. Yeah. So let's kick about Magic the Gathering.
That's right. They're not here because they went to a Grand Prix.
Oh, Grand Prix.
Yeah, there's a Grand Prix in Minneapolis this weekend, and they're both just tired.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Bro. Yeah, because you know what's grueling?
What?
Like, playing 9 rounds of Magic and then coming back and playing 6 more.
Do you know what's else is grueling?
Yeah.
Eating gruel.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard because
have you ever tried to eat
gruel?
Gross.
I mean, yes. My grandma used to try and force it down my mouth.
Man.
I punched her. In, like, a loving way. I saw your judging eyes for a second.
No, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
We all been there.
Now we just kick it mostly.
Yeah, we always kick it.
So
they're tired because there's this Grand Prix.
There is this Grand
Prix. So, but before we talk about the Grand Prix, because we're going to kick it about the Grand Prix a lot.
Yeah, we're totally going to kick it about
the Grand Prix. We're really going to kick it about the Grand Prix because, you know, when there's when a big thing happens, if you're not kicking it about the biggest thing that's happening, why are you kicking it at all?
I don't know. I mean,
I really don't know.
Unless they're, it's a tire and you want to check its pressure.
Yeah, no, bro. Like, I don't know.
No.
No, like, why?
I don't know.
Why would I?
Why would I kick it?
I'm not sure. Unless it's a football and it's the fourth down and we haven't made our 10 yards and we're kicking it, like, you know.
Yeah, why else?
Yeah,
would
like
you
why
kick
else
it?
Would I kick it? Unless I was playing soccer
or kick the can.
Yeah. Yeah, which is like, you know, the kids soccer.
Right, it's a child form.
Exactly. Of soccer. You know, unless I was playing Irish Gaelic football.
Yeah.
Why would I kick it?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. So if it's not a sport or a big event, why are you kicking it?
Well, we kick it every week, and we're not playing sports.
That's true. But we're kicking it about the important stuff that's happening.
That's true.
That's why we're kicking it. That's what I'm saying.
Steve and Steve here. Just in Maria and Megan's stead.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to point out that they do have a Patreon that you can donate to, patreon.com/mtacast.
That's right.
They got some real sweet stuff up there if you choose to donate. I know it helps them out a lot. Makes them feel real warm and fuzzy. So I hear when people say they're patrons.
Yeah. Because we would not say warm and fuzzy.
No.
No,
we
wouldn't.
Never say that.
If something made me like feel chill, then I would say chill.
Yeah,
like,
it made me feel chill.
That makes me feel real chill. Like, that's chill, and I feel chill about it.
The only thing that can make me feel warm and fuzzy would be having a bunch of caterpillars in my stomach, well wrapped up in a blanket. And
why would you want caterpillars in your stomach?
It's never happened to
why
me.
Why would you put caterpillars in your stomach?
I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically.
It's just poisonous, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, don't do it.
But it makes those ladies feel pretty good. So
yeah,
I just want to point that out. You can get Playmats t-shirts on their website.
On their website.
MagicTheAmateuring.com, I think, is the name of the site. I'm not sure.
The internet is sick, man.
The internet's pretty chill sometimes.
Yeah, it really is.
I just like to go and, like, look at pictures of space.
Yeah. Bro, I love pictures of space.
Do you ever just look and, like, feel small?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Just all the time.
I put on some sweet post-rock and just look at space pictures.
Yeah, you know who I love?
Who?
Dave Matthews.
You put spin some Dave Matthews and look at space pictures.
Yeah, baby.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
He has that song Satellite.
Yeah.
So I put it on while I'm looking at space and I'm like, man, Satellite took these.
That's not only literal, it's also deep. It's both ends of the spectrum.
It really is. We got to talk about, we got to let people know. They asked us to let people know about deck randomization.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what's not chill?
Cheating.
Cheating's not chill, man.
Not chill.
Not chill.
Don't do it.
That's not right. Chill. A prominent player was caught this weekend cheating, unfortunately. Yes. Fabrizio Onteri.
Still under investigation, yep. Want to point out.
Still under investigation, but, that's true.
But,
He was doing something called mano-weaving.
Doesn't look good.
Mano-weaving.
Allegedly.
Which is where you put your lands in one pile and you put your spells in another, and then you shuffle them in such a way that it's like, you know, to some spells and some lands like really nicely evenly mixed.
It's like you have your chunk,
yeah,
and then you like slip in the other lands, yeah, in your chunk.
Exactly. But if you like practice enough, you can make it look a little riffly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know what? That's not randomizing a deck.
No, it's not.
It's not. It is random. Stacking a deck. It's stacking a deck and it's cheating, bro.
And your deck has to be random, else it's not. Else it's cheating.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it.
So guess what? Also, some people are like, you know, if I mana weave and then, but like then I randomize a lot, like I shuffle a lot.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter that you did it in the first place.
Yeah. So like people who mana weave ever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we shouldn't just say mana weave, because sometimes people do it with, like, their sideboard or their creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I want to make is, mm-hmm, if you're sufficiently randomizing, then it does, mm-hmm, not make 1 ounce of difference,
exactly,
what you did with your cards.
And if you're not, if you think that it makes a difference, then you are not sufficiently randomizing your deck.
Then you need to shuffle some more.
Yeah, shuffle some more. Which brings us to, hey, make sure that your opponent is shuffling.
Yeah, man.
Make sure they're shuffling a lot.
Yeah,
they shouldn't shuffle it once, man.
They're not getting away with it on my watch. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know what? Once is never enough, especially when you shuffle.
Yeah, unless you're eating gruel.
One time with gruel is enough, but most other stuff.
Also, when you're a bare naked lady song, never is enough.
That's right.
Just want to point that out.
But do you know what? Are the bare naked ladies Dave Matthews?
No.
So have I heard them?
No.
All right, then.
One band.
Point made.
Dave Matthews.
That's right. Sometimes I listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, and I said post-rock, so I probably listen to that, but only when I'm looking at space pictures.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, but like, I'm always listening to music and looking at space pictures.
You know what I've listened to?
What?
Korn.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta feel a lot of feelings, and I think Korn is, you know, it really lets me feel a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
It's a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of noise, so I really feel a lot of stuff.
I've never felt anything in my life, but if I would if, you know.
Yeah. Well, you said you felt small when you look at space. That's a feeling.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
That's a feeling, bro.
That's true. It was more of like a physical.
Yeah.
Like, I like literally feel smaller than the vast expanse.
Man, that's emotional, though.
You think?
I believe it.
All right.
Hey, bro. Always shuffle your opponent's deck.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
Don't just cut it.
But just gotta do it.
Pick it up and shuffle it.
I mean, Megan and Brie have talked about it on this, mm-hmm, show before. Gotta shuffle a deck. It's not an insult. Don't take it as an insult that somebody shuffles your deck. It's just like a good habit to do every single round. I know 60 cards is big to fit in many people's hands, and some people who remain nameless got calluses on their hands because their hands are tiny baby hands.
Yeah.
You just still gotta do it.
Mm-hmm, bro. Hey, I looked up some words from a magic judge about shuffling.
Hit me.
Because do you know what I like? Professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to look up the words of someone who studies, thinks about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to, in order to sufficiently randomize a deck, as Judge says, you have to use a couple of different types of shuffling and cutting. Pile shuffling can't be the last kind of shuffling you did, man.
It cannot be the last shuffle you do. That's a common misconception I have found. It cannot be your last shuffle.
It cannot. You should be using a couple of different shuffles.
I like personally the riffle shuffle is my favorite.
Yeah, but you know when you're doing with magic cards that they cost a lot, it's not chill, bro, to like, you know, bend
magic
cards.
You don't
want to
bend magic cards.
Don't riffle shuffle your opponent's deck. You can do like the cutty slidey shuffle.
Yeah,
like this one. Like, what's this called?
It's called the insert and pull.
That's not it.
That's what's happening. So
fair
I
enough,
just named it right
fair
now,
enough, bro. So my point is, you know, do a couple of different kinds of shuffle.
Yeah,
really get them all mixed up good. You know, you 6 or 7 times too.
Yeah.
You got to be doing at least 6 or 7 times.
I agree.
Times.
6 or 7
times. Yep.
So just keep that in mind. You don't want to get caught with your deck not sufficiently randomized. You don't want to play somebody who's cheated you out of a win. That would suck.
That would suck,
So
man.
Let's play a good, clean game of Magic and just win the way God intended.
You know, by putting someone's life total to 0.
Yep. Or milling them out.
Yeah. You know, it's a duel.
What is?
Magic.
Yeah, it is. It is a duel. They have a game called Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah. But really, every time you sit down and play an opponent anywhere, isn't that a duel of a planeswalkers? Because you and your opponent are both planeswalkers.
That's true. I forgot to think about that sometimes.
Yeah, man.
Like, I myself am a planeswalker.
And you're dueling that other planeswalker to the death.
I've got some six creatures and spells I'm summoning. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty sick, man.
And powerful as a wizard. Planeswalker, you don't need to
powerful
cheat.
Powerful wizard.
You are a powerful wizard. You're a
powerful wizard.
Yeah.
Do you know who's a cheater?
Who?
Saruman.
Yeah. He was a cheater.
Cheater all over the place,
man.
That was
not his power. Like, he took it.
Working for Sauron the whole time.
Yeah.
Might as just an agent of Mordor.
Yep. You don't want to be him, do you?
No, you really don't. Yeah. Don't be Saruman. Be Gandalf.
That's right. Think of it that way.
That's right, bros.
I hope this Scared Straight episode has scared you straight.
Yeah.
Steve. I don't know if you know a lot about Steve and Steve. But I work as a scared straight officer in a prison. Uh-huh. So, like, kids who have been, like, you know, recently mm-hmm. bad in school, they'll bring them in and I'll be like, hey, you want to go to jail, you little punk? And I get up in their face.
Yeah.
You know, scares them straight.
Yeah.
I usually show them the toilet facilities and that usually does it pretty quick. But
I work for a park service.
Hey, bro, let's kick it. GP Minneapolis.
Yeah, bro. Like we said, big old Grand Prix in Minneapolis this past weekend. Pretty chill stuff.
Like 1,500 or so players came out to play in this big tournament held at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
Man, that room was sick, dog.
It was sick.
It was so baller.
It was like a dome ceiling, and I'm like, I love domes.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Do you know what they remind me of?
Boobs.
Yeah. Also planetariums.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty chill.
Yeah, planetariums are sick.
Did you ever go into a planetarium and just put in your earbuds and chill with some Dave Matthews?
God, like every weekend.
Yeah, I feel you. I really feel you.
Hey, name your favorite planetarium.
Easily the Minneapolis Planetarium.
Oh, there's this one in Chicago that's sick. You been in the Chicago Planetarium?
I feel like I have.
It's in that little museum area.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That used to be all World's Fair.
And now it's planetarium.
Yeah, well, now it's a bunch of museums.
Go check out your local planetarium. It was on Stevens. It was on Let's Kick It episode 59.
That's right. We talk a lot about planetariums. So. We also talked about that book. That book that every bro loves, Devil in the White City.
Yep.
All about the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah.
Also, murder.
It was a great episode. A
great episode where we talk about that. So mm-hmm. you can go back and listen to that one.
59. But now we're on episode 365, GP Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we did go down to the convention center. Lots of people there. Some great artists hanging out, selling some sweet tokens.
Yeah.
Bought a lot of tokes. I meant tokens. Shouldn't have shortened it.
No, you shouldn't have, but it's okay.
And
we all know that you're chill.
Yeah, I'm pretty chill. Great judging staff. Event run well.
Yeah, great. You know, I thought very quick.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. Rounds were fast.
It was very quick. Yep. I don't know that like, the clock, you know, that starts to count up after the time of the round is done.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it get to 20 the whole weekend.
No, I didn't either.
And I've seen that before, Steve.
Oh, for sure.
I've definitely seen it get to 20.
Did not get to 20.
Yeah. We were out of there by, like 8 p.m.
Kudos
day
to
one.
Pastimes and the judge staff for running such a smooth event.
Real nice.
Nice. Great tournament.
Yeah. Real nice. So, you know, I bet you're wondering, bro, like, what were people playing?
Yeah, like, what
were people playing while they were there? Because knowledge is cool, and I want it.
So, like, going into this tournament, I would say, like, Coco, Collected Company.
Man, everybody's playing Collected Company. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Is Collected Company the new Siege Rhino? Your thoughts?
Man, no.
Why?
Well,
I mean, like, I'm saying that everybody's playing it, and you, like, either have to have some sideboard to beat it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what, bro? I hadn't thought about it before, but it might be.
It kind of is for me. It might personally.
Be. Yeah, no, it kind of is.
I'm very annoyed by that card.
Yeah. It's like, you're spending 4 mana. You're getting, like, a lot of times, you're getting 6 mana worth of value.
Oh, sweet.
That's
value.
A lot like a Siege Rhino play, and Siege Rhino is not chill.
Not chill at all.
Not chill.
That's
if there was ever a not
kick.
Chill bro... It's that rhino.
No, no way was he chilling. He's going on a siege. You can't be chilling a siege.
So, lots of people playing Collected Company.
Yep. So, what were some of the top archetypes we saw at GP Minneapolis, Steve?
Man, do you know what? No surprises. Number one archetype? Green white tokens.
Tokens.
17 copies of it on day two. 17 copies of it. And it won.
Yeah, it did.
It won the tournament.
It went all the way.
And do you know what it doesn't play?
What?
Collected Company.
That's true.
Too many Planeswalkers.
I know that Maria told me before the show that she played against Green White Tokens a few times this weekend and was expecting them to play Collected Company.
No, man.
Sideboarded for it. And when she found out that this deck does not play it, was surprised.
Not enough targets.
Isn't that weird?
You need 20 plus targets, 25 plus targets. You need a hell of a lot of targets in your deck. Yeah. You're going to be playing Collected Company.
But no.
They're playing Planeswalkers.
Planeswalkers.
They're playing Hangerback Walkers. Do you know what you don't want to hit off a Collected Company?
Hangerback Walker.
A Hangerback Walker. It just dies.
It just gone.
They don't get any counters.
R.I.P. and pepperonis.
State-based effects.
Yep. So yeah, Green White Tokens took it all down. A local boy that I believe Meg and Maria have played before.
Yeah.
Known to them.
Yeah.
Won the whole shebang.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to the archetypes we saw, what was number two, Steve?
Man, Bant Company.
Ooh, wonder what that card, what that deck plays.
Oh, I think it plays, you know what? I think it plays Collected Company, bro.
I am shocked.
Right there in the name.
Have you ever seen the musical Company?
I haven't.
Just a side thought.
I like side thoughts, bro.
Third most popular deck of the weekend.
White humans.
Humans.
Lots of humans running around in general.
Humans. Was the name of the game this weekend.
Yeah. They really were.
Most decks in the top eight, humans.
Mm-hmm. People are like, you know what's good right now?
Humans.
Maybe not for the planet, bro, but we'll talk about that in our environmentalism episode.
Yeah, that's coming up.
It's just coming up.
Next up was Grixis Control.
Grixis Control! You're playing some Jaces. You're playing some Radiant Flames. You're playing some Card Draw. Maybe you're playing some Languish or some Kalitas. Trade or get.
Then how do you win?
Man, you went with that Kalitas Traitor of Get.
Boom, you don't need nothing
else.
Some
Goblin Dark Dwellers.
Yeah.
So you take those spells in your graveyard and you flash them back. Kolaghan's Command, two to your face and discard a card.
It's rough.
Two to your face, get back my Dark Dwellers.
Yeah.
Get back my Dark Dwellers, you discard a card.
It's rough.
Sick.
Grixis Control, most notably, was the deck going to time the most I heard about this weekend.
Yeah, man. Although
long grindy matches.
Yeah. No, you're right. Green Red Ramp also there, represented.
Yep.
Playing lots of Planeswalkers like Chandra.
Yes. Not a lot of Chandra, you know.
What?
I didn't see a lot of Chandra.
I saw some Chandras.
Ugh, I'm glad I didn't see those Chandras.
Oh, man, they wreck.
Playing the deck I was playing.
She's hot. Literally, she's on fire.
Yes, she is on fire.
She's actually on fire. And when she gets together with Ulamog...
Not pretty.
Not pretty at all. Black-White Control?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet control deck.
Let's kill all your things. Let's play some Planeswalkers.
Owen Turtenwald notably says this is the best deck in Standard right now. Maybe right. It is certainly, I believe, the most powerful deck.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some powerful stuff and kill everything else that ever happened to your opponent, consider Black-White Control. I think it's well-placed in the format right now.
That's right. Four-color Cryptolithorites also in there.
Yep. So that was a deck that LSV was playing at the Pro Tour.
Very
cool, notably, making Ormondal a big flying demon, getting you in the face for nine.
Yeah, sometimes doing that. Four color rides, though, also has sometimes a Eldrazi Displacer, Zulaport Cutthroat, Brood Monitor.
Yeah, combo.
Sick combo, and they play Cryptolith Rites, so it's like, hey, I'm playing four colors, and maybe the lands aren't insane right now, but do you know what? I have this Cryptolith Rites, so
it doesn't matter.
My creatures tap for all the colors I need.
Yeah.
Who needs lands when you've got creatures in a Cryptolith Rite? Yeah, man. Then we've got some other stuff. Some other randos.
Yeah.
Every tournament's got its randos. People and decks alike.
That's true. Do you want to know a deck I saw out there that was very random this weekend?
What?
I saw somebody bring their own elves homebrew. It was pretty crazy. Just basically your mana dorks. Going into the big elf, the 4/3 that is menace that kills a dude when she comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
And is she called Guiltleaf Winnower?
Yeah, man.
And anyway, so this dude was playing these elves, swings at me. They're all 1/1s. And I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you doing? My life was sort of low.
Doing,
and I'm like,
dude?
I'm not going to block you because who cares? It's like 3 damage. And then he plays his card that pumps his whole team based on the number of creatures he has that are attacking, or whatever it was. It might have been more than three. Anyway.
What?
And then he plays another one.
What's the name of that spell, bro?
Might of the Masses. So snap. Let's just say it was a bit of a blow up. Otherwise, the deck was not very powerful homebrew, yeah. But it was sweet. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. Hey, randos are the spice of life, man.
Hey, if you go into a
set
GP,
it once, I've said it, said it twice.
You don't
I've
need
said
to...
it three times. It's a lady.
Yep.
Randos are the spice of life.
You don't need to buy an expensive deck necessarily. You can bring whatever the heck you want.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of decks that were unusual, there was a really cool one played by the one and only Reed Duke that featured Gitrog Monster.
Gitrog Monster, man, just a frog that wants to find a home.
He's just like, where do I live?
He's just looking for friends and a home and people to hypnotize. And isn't that what we all want? Aren't we all giant toads?
I mean, in my spare time, when I'm not scaring kids straight, I am an amateur hypnotist, so you can rent me for, like, your graduation parties, your bachelorette parties.
This dude is crazy.
I will get your friends to do some crazy stuff that they normally wouldn't do.
You cannot believe what he does.
Yeah, how would you want to see your uncle act like a monkey? I'm your man.
Yeah. In my spare time, I'm an amateur arborist. So I'll come and I'll take care of your trees.
Yeah.
I don't cut down trees. I'll help you cull trees, you know, chop branches where they need to be chopped, you know, just shape them.
Yeah.
Help them grow.
He's legit.
I am legit. I know how to get up in a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, so this deck was basically all cards that Reed Duke thought were sweet cards. He put them in a deck together.
Sick
respect,
cards.
Respect, man.
You have to respect that.
Yeah.
You really do. You can't disrespect it.
No way. Can't disrespect that.
How are you going to disrespect it?
You can't.
You can't.
So it's playing one Gitrog Monster, one Ulamog, one Woodland Bellower.
Yeah, man. You remember this card?
It's that one that looks like
four
a little beast.
Four green, and it's a big roaring bear.
And
you get
it.
To go get another creature. Three CMC or less.
Nissa, Tireless Tracker, obviously. Sylvan Advocate, obviously.
Aw, sick.
Ultimate Price, Grass with Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Both Nissa.
Yeah, plus some discard and some kill spells. What more do you need, really?
I think it sounds like a sweet deck, if I'm being real with you.
You can be real with me anytime, bro.
Thanks. We got that kind of relationship. It's close, but it's not sexual.
Nah, it's not too close.
Nope.
Hey, you know what this deck is playing? Hiss and Q.
Hiss and Q, what a great card.
Yeah, what a great card. Sylvan Advocates. Man, I have to tell you, this weekend someone had a Sylvan Advocate in this Naya deck. Sylvan Advocate, Needle Spires, activates Needle Spires. Man, that's a 4/3 double striker. Almost died.
You gotta watch out.
You really do.
Needle Spires is no joke, straight up, but...
No, it's not. It's a pointy mountain that's a creature.
This is a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for that Needle Spires.
Needle Spires.
So,
dangerous.
Yeah, those were some of our fave interesting decks.
Yeah. That was a sick deck. They did a deck tech on it. You can go find it in the coverage archive. There's also a, Saito's Blue Red Flyers.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about this because this is some crazy stuff here.
This guy legit showed up with some crazy stuff.
I mean, think about it. First of all, I want to point out this guy always has the best pants. The GP, they're these green. Anyway, all right. So he's playing four of everything because keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Dimensional Infiltrator, four Rattle Chains, four Stratus Dancer, four Gold Knight Castigator, four Exquisite Firecraft, Fiery Impulse, Clash of Wills, Spell Shriveled, Fever Vision. That be all she wrote.
Snap.
This deck seems
Gold Knight Castigator.
Pretty sweet. Gold Knight Castigator, of course, is the 4/9 for 1/2/3/4. Flying in haste, and if something deals damage to you, deals double instead.
Sick.
And if it would deal damage to Castigator, deals double instead.
Sick, man.
We were all thinking this might end up in a standard deck one day. Well, maybe it's found its home.
Maybe it has. They're playing on day two, so cool deck, man.
Yeah, sweet deck.
Real cool deck.
Good job.
Also find that deck on the mothership.
Daily MTG.
Daily MTG coverage archives.
.com.
Go look it up if you're thinking, hey, do you know what? I want to play something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because randos are the spice of life.
Yeah. So what did you feel like the metagame this weekend? How did you feel about it?
Man, you know what? I thought I liked it all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a variety of decks there. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, you don't want one flavor.
You don't want one flavor. No, man. That's why I never only buy one kind of ice cream.
Always two.
At least two.
Sometimes I tell them to put three different ice creams on my cone. They look at me weird. And I say, do it. I'm paying you.
Yeah, let's all be honest. Neapolitan is cheating.
No, don't cheat.
It's cheating. Mm-mm. What, you think that it's okay because they mixed the three flavors up for you already? That's not okay. If you're not trying to get those multiple flavors, you're not really experiencing it.
Do you know what I do sometimes?
What?
Go over to my spice rack. I blindfold myself carefully. Shut off the lights in that order. Sometimes I trip. Go back to the spice rack. Spin it. Pull off at least five different spices. Uncap them. Dump into my mouth. That's breakfast.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What's a spice rack?
It's something that's in my mom's kitchen. I'm living with my mom right now. It's just that I have some like tough times.
No, I understand.
The economy.
Your GF.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rough stuff.
Listen to episode 263.
Where we talk about Larissa.
About Larissa.
Man. What a tough bird.
Yeah, man. Ladies, I can't understand them.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up like that.
It's fine. I brought it up. I brought it up with the spice rack.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. You know, spice rack's the variety of life.
You always do say that.
I really always do. Hey, should we talk about what decks were in the top eight real quick?
Yeah. Let's say it. These are the top eight decks, obviously. We're going to
say lots of humans. Banned humans.
So Eldrazi.
White humans.
And now the humans are back.
Banned humans. More white humans. Black, white control, though. Yeah, bro.
Yep.
Black, white control. Bant humans again. Oh, man. Green, white tokens and green, white tokens. So, bant humans, lots of them.
Yeah. Saw plenty of bant humans this weekend. We'll talk about that more. Because each of us actually is going to interview Megan and Maria.
Yeah, they're coming in just for a quick interview.
Quick interview. They didn't want to do the whole show, but they decided they could come on for an interview.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that, talk to them about what they played, how they felt the weekend went with their decks. I want to point this out, though. Great showing by the ladies this weekend.
Yeah,
GP we're proud of them. Really proud.
Really proud.
We hang out on occasion. Well, Maria was in my Get Scared Straight class. She was not a school student, but she did have a petty misdemeanor for which she needed to be scared straight.
Rough.
She was, and she was.
Yeah.
Some kind of parking violation that repeated itself a number of times, apparently.
Parking violations are no joke.
Yeah, man. They are no joke.
You might think, hey, this is the candy of the feast that is potential crime.
Nope.
But it's not.
No.
It is not.
Think about this. They're there for a reason, okay?
Laws exist for a reason.
You know what else exists for a reason?
What?
Chastity. She's in prison. She's huge. And she made a shiv out of a razor blade. Somehow she got a razor blade in prison. Don't ask me how. I don't ask questions. She turned it into a shiv because cutting you with a razor blade wasn't good enough for her. It's reality in women's prison you have to face. So, keep that in mind.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Man, I can just tell you that shit at the park gets crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like, literally. A lot of Canada geese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been bitten by a goose.
They got it out for you. You know, like, people are like, this mosquito bites me a lot. I must have their good blood. I feel like you have blood in you that a goose wants.
Yeah. Yeah, I really must or something, man, because those geese. But I'm not going to fold.
No, you don't.
I will not fold. It is my park to take care of.
That's right.
It is my park, and I will not let the geese have it.
That one time they took it for about a month, that was not a good month for you.
It was not a good month for me, but we won that battlefield.
We got back at them, didn't we?
We got it.
If you're listening, geese, watch out. We're always watching you. We got cameras installed now.
Yeah, bro.
Yep.
Hey, bros. I'm back, and for a couple of minutes, I'm going to kick it with Maria from Magic the Amateuring.
I wanted to say thanks, Steve, for doing the show for me most of the week. I could only come in for a quick segment.
Yeah, bro. It's no problem. We're always happy to kick it for you ladies.
Yeah, you guys are doing great. I mean, I don't know, but the last episode you did for us was amazing.
Oh, man. Thank you. Do you know what's... You know it's dope?
What?
Compliments.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you another one right now. Your work with the park system in town has been phenomenal.
Thank you. Someone has to keep those Canada geese out of Minnesota.
That infiltration was horrifying. I mean, I was there at the fight. I brought my rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what you went through.
Thank you. Yeah. That means a lot. We all have the battles that we're going to fight in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I've fought mine.
You really did.
I fought mine.
Speaking of battles.
Speaking of battles, you battled this weekend at GP Minneapolis. What did you play?
So it was really interesting. I wasn't actually going to play anything going into the weekend.
Uh-huh.
The very day, so the day before the GP on Friday, I went down to the convention center and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to play. Maybe I'll play just side events, some sealed, because there's some sweet sealed events going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cut to me telling this to a friend. And he's like, how often do you get the chance to play standard at a big GP? Maria, what are you doing? You should play.
Yeah.
I had been testing online a number of different decks.
Yeah.
Hadn't really felt like one was doing very well.
Yeah, we've all been there, man.
Yeah, you've been there, I'm sure.
Been there.
And the closest deck I had to finding one that I liked with the highest win percentage that I personally had was Mono White Humans.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
He convinced me, and I was like, all right, let's see if I can trade into this deck before Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent about, I don't know, it wasn't even that long, 30 minutes trading with vendors at the site. I didn't spend a penny. I traded into Mono White Humans, both versions. So there's a Max McVetti version and a Tom Ross version.
Mm-hmm.
I got both of them, which only differ by a few cards, so it was fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had the Gideons already, so. Yeah.
You give yourself some options, though.
Yep.
You know what? We all need choices. Because we need to make choices, because choices define us. So you gave yourself an opportunity to define you.
That's a great point, Steve.
Thanks, man.
Because I define myself in a new way. So I was sitting at home with the deck registration sheet. And I was like, which of these two decks should I play? On one hand, Tom Ross's had Envoy in it.
Mm-hmm.
Expedition Envoy. It's just a vanilla 2-1.
Just a 2-1, man.
And it also had Anointer of, what is it, Champions?
Yeah.
And that's the 1-1 that can tap and give an attacking creature +1/+1 until end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a version by Max, which was a little bit slower. Didn't have Anointer, I don't think Envoy in it, but it did have Archangel of Tithes. One in the main, three in the board. And when I was testing online, I don't know what version I was using, but it did have Archangel. And I found that I liked that card.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that it was good against Avacyn, which I was terrified of playing against as Mono White Humans for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was just a threat that they had to deal with.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes your little dudes, they don't feel like they need to deal with it, especially if they're playing like a Sylvan Advocate. They're just like, who cares?
Sylvan Advocate does wreck 2-1s.
It does. And like with the help of Thalia's Lieutenant, which a lot of people say is one of the best cards in standard right now, they can grow bigger. But I just felt like that I wanted to have some options at the top end.
Yeah.
So what I did, and it was kind of one of those level up moments you sometimes experience as a player. What I did was I said, hey, why do I have to play one of these two lists that I found on the internet? I was like, why don't I just combine them into a list that I want to play?
Shit, yeah, bro. You were following your heart.
I was. Because I was like, I want to play these Archangels of Tithes because I think they're good and people have to deal with them. And Avacyn can attack through them. So I did. I put them in and I also liked Anointer of Champions. I'm like, sometimes you just need that little boost.
Sometimes you do.
Get in the deck. And
That's right.
I didn't follow any list. I combined the two. I put in a certain number of Consul's Lieutenants because I really liked that card, which they also usually have to deal with.
Yeah.
Took out, I think, one. Oh, I can't remember if I had one. Four Knight of the White Orchids or only three. But I did some little bit of customization, a hybrid of the two decks, playing something that I just felt good about because I didn't want to play Expedition Envoy. Now I realize some people are good with this deck, and Tom Ross is like a very smart person, and like playing an aggressive.
Dude knows how to play an aggressive deck.
White deck is great, but
knows
sometimes
how to play it.
I just felt sick drawing that off the top, and it does absolutely nothing when every other card in this deck, besides Dragon Hunter. Which of course is good against Ojutai, but
nothing else
does something other than just be a vanilla creature.
Hey man, give Dragon Hunter some credit, because you know what? Sometimes Silumgar sneaks in there and is like,
true.
I want to steal your bros. And Dragon Hunter says, I'm a loyal bro, Silumgar.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, don't you come in here with your dark, weird offers, okay? You're not going to make a necklace out of me.
He does say that.
He does.
So I made my own version of Mono White Humans, mm-hmm. and I couldn't have been happier about it. And I just wanted to tell everybody that don't be afraid. Like, go with your heart. If you see a net deck and you want to make your own combinations, it's not going to be a disaster. Like, yeah. if you love it, I think that goes a long way.
If you love it, you need to not let it go.
Yeah.
You need to sleeve it up, put in a deck box, and show up to a Grand Prix with it.
I agree.
And I think that we could all be a little bit braver.
Yeah.
Following the stuff that we love. Like, what if Dave Matthews hadn't been brave enough to follow his love of music?
Yeah.
You know?
I think about that sometimes.
We wouldn't have had that gift.
No, he would have ended up a plumber like he was initially in life.
Uh-huh.
Following the trade of his father and his grandfather before him. But
that's right.
God, he found that guitar in a trash bin, tuned it, and is now be the Dave we know today.
Be a Dave Matthews the musician, not a Dave Matthews the plumber.
Yeah, I agree. Unless plumbing's, you know, your music.
In which case, you do you.
Yeah, you do you. So also notably this weekend was Standard.
Mm-hmm.
I have played in exactly zero Standard events.
Sick.
Ever in real life. Not a single F&M, nothing.
Yeah, man.
So this was scary for me.
Yeah.
I tested a little bit online, but as I said, was not doing super well, so I wasn't feeling like super confident going into the weekend.
Confidence is an elusive lady. It's a firefly, and we're all just kids in the backyard.
Steve, you're so deep. I didn't know how deep you were.
Man, people think because I'm a bro, I'm not deep, but that's just shallow of them.
That's true. Shallow of me. I must say, I was scared of Standard going in, and I'm not scared anymore.
Nice.
Because nice. Something happened to me, Steve, when I was playing this tournament.
Uh-huh.
And that's that I started off 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? What? Mm-hmm. I was not expecting to... I mean, you've heard Megan talk about this. She can attest to the fact that I said going in, I would be lucky if I won a single match. I did not think I was going to win any matches going into this weekend. That's how unconfident I was.
And you won a lot of matches.
Turns out that I did. I won 10 of them.
Yeah, you did.
I lost 4 and I tied 1.
Yeah.
Which is a good record. It got me a 105th place, which is not too shabby.
Sick.
I got my first day 2, which yeah, I should talk did. About. That moment, actually.
Talk about it.
So, on this show, we've had goals for a long time. Mm-hmm. For probably a couple of years where our goals have
not
been...
Not on this show. On your
oh,
show.
I'm sorry. On my show, Magic
it's
Gathering.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I get so
confused. Our show is your show.
Right. And we've said we want to make a day 2 of a GP.
Yeah.
And Megan was first to make day 2 mm-hmm. in the tournament. And I was sitting there when it happened. And she was going crazy. And I was getting pretty emotional because we... You know, when you have a goal in Magic and you finally meet it, it's like I never actually thought that I would make a day 2. Like, playing Limited, it's not always, you know, it's not always a sure thing. You're going to have that deck or, to get you or that pool to get you into day 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't used to the feeling, and I saw it happen, and it was just one of the greatest moments in my Magic life, and I hope it can happen for everybody else out there, too. So I just, and then it happened for me. I was like sitting there playing my win and in, which was the last round of the day. And I was shaking as I was playing this guy. And I was just like, after it, and I was like, oh my God, I made my first day 2. It was like just unbelievable that Megan and I had both made our first day 2 in the same tournament. Couldn't have asked for it to happen better. And I was just so proud that we had set, you know, we've been saying for years, this is a goal of ours and we have achieved it. I felt like I'd been plateauing for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what it was that propelled me over the top finally, but something did.
You turned that plateau into a mountain and then you climbed the mountain.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I will say
sick.
That I think part of the reason for the success was
mm-hmm.
That the deck was very well positioned in the format. Mono White Humans is very strong against Coco decks. It's very strong against Wrights decks.
Sick.
Because here's the thing, it just doesn't care.
It doesn't.
Of course, Reflector Mage is a bit of a pain, but in the end, I'm just going to replay it, and it's probably just going to end up with more counters on it, and I'm just going to pay to put my Griff's Boon, aka Rancor version 2.0, back onto the creature.
Yeah, man.
So,
Griff's Boon says, you can get me back from a graveyard.
Yeah.
Because I'm cool like that.
Three and a white.
Yeah.
So I also loved the deck. I also loved playing the deck. It is exactly my style, which is aggressive and kind of like hits them in the air, slash out of nowhere. It's a little bit tempo-y in that they don't expect you to play. You're always watching. And when you do, it shifts the game and they're like, oh my gosh, now I'm suddenly behind.
Always watching.
Blah, blah, blah.
Gross.
Love that card.
Gross.
Archangel of Tithes.
Gross.
Also can shift the game because guess what? They've got to pay to attack you. They've got to pay to block you.
Especially when it has vigilance.
Oh, man. Yes.
You give that Archangel vigilance. Woo-hoo! That Archangel is like, this is the gift I've been waiting my life to get.
Yeah. So I loved playing that deck. Which Sick. Brings me to something else I want to talk about, Steve.
Yeah, bro.
Being a limited player... I found that I haven't always had, unless I've had a super sick sealed pool.
Yeah.
Which has happened to me once in my life when I went into, when it was an RPTQ and I got into the top eight or whatever. The deck was sick. But I never had a time when I would go and sit across from my opponent and think, I'm going to win this match.
Yeah, bro.
But on day two, the only match I lost was to Megan. Every other opponent, yeah. I walked up, sat across from them and was like, I felt like I was gonna win.
And do you know what, bro? It was just so sad that you two had to play.
I know.
It was like seeing
tragedy.
Venus and Serena play each other in tennis.
I know, and which is a match I can't watch. Too emotional for me.
No.
Cry the whole time.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Why do they have to be sisters? Rough. Why do they have to be sisters battling? Why do they have to be the best sisters battling?
I know. It was, they had the same record. I mean, it was a pretty good chance because they each had a tie.
Yeah.
You ask yourselves, how does mono white humans go to a tie? I'll tell you quick. I was how playing versus a green white tokens deck.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tokens were out.
Lots of tokens.
It was not a good situation.
It's all right. You got past it. You persevered.
I did persevere. I also persevered from 3-3 where I was at the middle of day one.
Yeah.
And I was not feeling good.
Yeah.
But I pushed forward and I just won out from there.
You went from 3-3 to 10-4-1. That is sick.
Yeah.
So many matches straight in a row.
Straight through the roof.
So many matches straight in a row, bro.
Like, I can't tell you the feeling, like, not being scared when you sit across from your opponent, even though they're a dude, even though they might be look unfriendly, which wasn't the case, of course, with every opponent. But, like, that's intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
But I felt when I sat down across from these guys, I was like, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to win.
You know what? I bet you it's no fluke, because Mono White Humans is a deck that takes some confidence to play.
You think?
Yeah, man. I believe that the more confident you are, the better you are going to be at playing that mono white deck.
Why?
I mean, dude, you got to be confident, bro, to attack people like that.
That's true.
Have you ever seen Tom Ross?
He's
a good aggro player because the dude is confident.
He's like, boom.
You seen that sick jacket?
Yeah.
Sick jacket, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Like, sometimes you've just got to swing and pretend like you have a trick.
Exactly. Confidence.
Which I did this weekend.
Confidence.
And I didn't have it.
Confidence.
But, like, yeah, loved the deck. Had a great time. Making my first day two. Couldn't have asked for anything better to happen that tournament. And ending with such a good record was great for me. I learned a lot of things along the way. I definitely threw away at least two, maybe... I'll say two for sure. Two rounds that I did not need to lose. One was a problem where I had a card on the floor. Did not realize it. That was a game loss.
Ugh.
R.I.P.
Rough.
Another was I made some mistakes with my Planeswalkers, which this deck does play Kithian, which it turns into a Planeswalker and also has Gideon out of the sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not very familiar with Planeswalkers or using them in decks, obviously, because in Limited they do not come up very often.
Yeah.
So I made some fatal errors using those Planeswalkers.
It's tough to use a Planeswalker correctly. You get options.
Yeah, you have a lot of options.
You get options. You have a chance to define yourself. But you know what? Sometimes we define ourselves wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
We all went through our teens.
I certainly defined myself wrong a few times in my teens.
You and me both, bro.
But yeah, it was not as frustrating as it could have been because I recognized it. I knew my play was incorrect, like usually 1 second after I made it, which was a little frustrating. But I made the conscious decision to slow down my play during the day, take a few breaths after every moment, take a breath before it was my turn. And that helped me play a little better. I still made, errors, of course, but I note now that I need to spend more time playing with and against planeswalkers so I know how to deal with them. Not only playing the deck that I want to play, but playing other decks so that I can get familiar with planeswalkers and their abilities.
Sick, bro.
Going into standard tournament.
Sick.
So, yeah, great tournament overall. Couldn't be happier. Fantastic weekend.
Nice work.
Thanks. First pro point. Pound it.
Pound it, bro.
Hey, bro, let's kick it. Right now, we're kicking it with Megan Wolf, Magic the Amateuring, 34th GP Minneapolis. Not a shabby finish.
No. I wouldn't call it shabby at all.
It was also not shabby.
Ah. Thank you so much, Steve.
I invert my P's and B's.
Yeah, I get it.
And turn them into, because they're upside down.
Yeah, no, they're just upside down versions of each other. I often think of, you know, I'm just an upside down version of someone else, probably.
I mean, that's a whole timeline question. Yeah. You know, like, is this the reality or what?
Is it? Or are we in a virtual reality?
It's sometimes a problem when I say I have to go poop instead I say I have to go boob, which has gotten me into...
I can understand how that would get you into trouble.
A couple problems.
Which I'm so sorry about you and Larissa, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
I'm really sorry.
I don't feel like you need to bring it up right there, but...
I just feel like you were talking about how it got you into trouble with stuff.
It's fine.
Anyways, I'm really sorry. I was going to say that I would love to hear you and Steve talk about the likelihood that we're just living in a virtual reality.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely coming
up. On another episode in the future.
That's planned.
That'd be super cool.
It's planned.
Awesome.
So well, I wanted to cool. ask you like about GP Minneapolis. So like what deck were you playing first of all?
So I was playing Black-White Control.
Oh, sick.
I was playing exactly Seth Manfield. I think last week posted an updated 75 of the Black-White Control list that he used to win GP New York.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, it's different by a couple of cards from the GP New York deck, but it's also super similar.
Can I ask why you want to play this deck? I mean, you're notably a control player.
I do, and that's just it. I love control, and, you know, I've said before, I think that ever since Sphinx's Revelation rotated out of control, I've just been trying really hard to believe that I can love again. Oh, and this deck came
along. Exactly
how
I feel right now after Larissa.
I'm so
Not
sorry,
Not to bring
Steve.
Her up again.
No,
but
I'm so sorry.
Continue.
This deck came along, and I was like, hey, do you know what? I think, like, it's not exactly the same, but Read the Bones is a sick card draw spell.
Sure is.
It's very good.
Question.
Yeah.
I know your deck's two colors, so that's mm-hmm. going to answer my question. But, like, Read the Bones, which is better, versus Painful Truths?
Well, I think you just said it yourself. In a two-color deck, it's going to be Read the Bones. I think in a three-color deck, it's going to be Painful Truths.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, although there is some debate and people are still, you know, sometimes they split the difference and play a couple of each. Or people are in the camp of all one or all the other.
Yeah, it's a question, too, like... Read the Bones versus Painful Truth. Like, how much do you want to alter your deck to be a triple mana base, and how much does that mm-hmm. hurt you versus just being two colors?
Or if you're already playing it like Grixis Control,
yeah,
it's like, okay, do you know what you need to? You can then evaluate the difference between like sheer card advantage of just drawing one more card, whereas Read the Bones offers you a little bit more selection. You're only getting two cards, but you can potentially see up to four of them,
right?
If the top two aren't what you're looking for, and I think that actually works out really well for this Black-White Control deck, because there are so many different threats running around standard, and you need the answers that are in your deck, because you have some Ruinous Paths, you have some Anguished Unmakings, you have some sweepers like Languish and Planar Outburst, and then you have like other targeted removal like Obnixilis.
Sure.
You need to be drawing the removal that's going to match up against what your opponent is doing. So if my opponent is playing Black-Green Sacrifice, for instance, maybe a couple of cheap removal spells, like maybe a couple of Ultimate Prices and Grasps are going to keep me from dying. But what I really want to see is a Languish.
Yeah.
And so in that case, like Read the Bones is nice because you're getting a little bit more of the card selection, which is good for a deck that really needs the two things to match up, the answers and the threats.
I feel like your deck was pretty well positioned in this format. As was Maria's, for completely different reasons.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would say that the one like strike against it right now is that a lot of the four color rights decks have started main decking a couple of Reality Smashers.
Yeah.
So I while see. That was a good matchup, like over the weekend, I only played it twice, and I lost one of them to two main deck Reality mm-hmm. Smashers.
I see.
And then the other one I won very easily game one. Because of the lack of reality smashers.
But when the smasher was in hand, you had no plan.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, whatever plan I had just honestly wasn't good enough because that thing swings in for so much damage.
I mean, you can Nixie him away, but...
Exactly. It does, you know, it's rough. Reality Smasher is a difficult card to beat. But other than that, I like it. I like its matchup against other control decks. Generally, when I played Grixis, I've only played Grixis twice. I won one of them. And it's just because post-sideboard, you have so much discard. You bring in Duresses, you're already playing Transgress the Mind, but you bring in a fourth copy, and you have Thought Not Seers.
Right.
There's just so many ways to pick their hand apart. And my opponent lost specifically because he wasn't prepared. Like, he kept a hand that had, like, a Read the Bones and a Ruinous Path and five lands. And if I transgress that on turn two,
yeah, what do you?
It's like I take your Read the Bones, and you have a Ruinous Path. Great,
and that's it.
Exactly.
Oh boy,
you better hope that I only have one threat in my hand,
exactly,
and that's all that's gonna happen.
Luckily, your deck is nothing but ways to respond to any kind of threats that you face.
Yeah, exactly. And then I felt like I, over the course of the weekend, I was also learning. I think one of the things in the deck is learning when you're being defensive and learning when you need to push the offensive.
Yeah.
Because a control deck like Sphinx's Revelation, you never push the offensive.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. The way you won was by it being like, these are all of my cards. I'm going to shuffle this Elixir of Immortality and I have 12 billion cards. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And this, you do eventually need to win, especially since...
Sorry, that was just really... I mean, that's such a negative. Eventually you need to win.
I mean, eventually you need to reduce your opponent's life total to zero, okay?
Yeah.
Which is so...
What a drawback.
I just feel like it's so trite. I feel like it's so trite. But you've got to do it. You've got to get it done. And knowing when to put the pressure on, like against Grixis, you bring in like things like Thought Not Seers, and you're leaving in all these Planeswalkers because you need to pressure them. You can't just pick apart their hand.
No.
You need to also bring in pressure.
Great point. I want to ask you something. So this is your first day two.
Yeah, it was.
You were doing really well. You were on a hot streak in day one. How did it feel when you made day two? What was going through your head?
I couldn't believe it. And I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was so unbelievably excited. And I have to say, like, and I mentioned this several times throughout the course of the weekend. So I had this issue. Every time I sat down to play around, it happened less on day two, but in day one, I would sit down and I just felt like I was going to lose every time. Even before I knew the matchup, I would be walking to my table and just be like, man, I'm going to lose this round.
This is interesting in contrast to what we heard from Maria.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, and I mentioned like, so at the end of day one, I ended up getting, like, right, I hit 6-2.
Yeah.
We still have one more round, but I know that I'm locked for day two.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was just like, well, this is as good as you can do. Like, you're going to lose your next round.
Hmm.
You made day two. Isn't that nice?
Why did you think that?
And I have no idea. It's like, I think just kind of an intense lack of self-confidence.
Well, think about it. I mean, we heard a similar story. Mm-hmm. Now, Maria was confident when she sat down because she loved her deck and thought it was...
Yeah.
She could just smash face with it.
Yeah.
But prior to that, in many tournaments, she never felt like she could win.
Yeah. And I feel like it was odd because I felt very good about the deck that I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like
I put in a
ton of practice with it. And, at the end of the day, still, after I had gone, like, I won my last round and I went 7-2. And I had such a hard time thinking of myself as a person who had gone 7-2.
Right.
It was like those two things were incompatible in my head, which I think is super, like, super interesting when you sit down and you just think about, like, competitive mindsets.
Yeah.
And stuff like I've mentioned before, like imposter syndrome, which is this feeling like even if you're achieving a lot, like, you're a fraud.
Right.
And people are going to eventually figure out that you're a fraud, or it's going to be revealed that you're a fraud.
Something that I think was made plain to me this weekend was that I was usually generally intimidated by my opponents.
Mm-hmm.
That, even though I'm a really intimidating dude.
You're a very intimidating
dude,
Steve.
I've got lots of muscles and I yell at kids for a living. So, but even so. What I found out was that generally I was just playing normal humans. You know what I mean?
Course.
They had put in probably, you know, either a little more, a little less, equal to the amount of work that I had put in practicing for this GP. Mm-hmm. Why do I constantly feel like I'm not good enough? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after the end of this weekend, I felt like, and this is Steve speaking, definitely not Maria, who we talked
yeah.
to before.
Yeah.
Felt like, no, they're not just better than me because for X reason, Y reason, yeah. Z reason. No, like maybe I am just as okay as these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I actually super identify with that now that you mention it. I think it was just like this implicit assumption on my part that it's like I've got to be
grinders who are
exactly or even if they're not, like, I'm just going to be worse at magic than this person,
right?
Which was directly in contrast to I, like, in the middle of day one, all of a sudden I started feeling like this amazing feeling of like, holy shit, this is what it's like to practice really hard and then all of us like have it pay off.
Exactly.
There was no better feeling than winning matches that weren't about the matchup as much as they were about, like, I made good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I made good decisions on, like, what to take and how to sideboard. I spent so much time thinking about sideboarding for this deck. And I think, especially in the early rounds, less so in the late rounds and in day two, but I think I won a lot of early rounds just by being better at sideboarding than my opponent.
Yeah, take a page from Brad Nelson's notebook, who was on mm-hmm. Magic the Pearl during, I believe.
Yeah.
Whose number one piece of advice was learn to sideboard smart.
Yeah. And I totally agree. Yeah.
So.
So just a couple of notable things.
The
person that I lost to playing four color Cryptolith Rites on day one, I saw him the next day, and he was like, oh man, this week, and he ended up doing really well also, and he's like, I just secured the World Cup captaincy.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
So he's from the Dominican Republic, and he's gonna be the World Cup captain, which I was like, oh, that's super cool.
It's pretty chill.
It was super chill. Let's see, once I was in the draw bracket, which I played a 40-minute game two against Grixis first thing on day two.
Sounds like torture.
First thing, yeah. So I like beat him in game one in like 15 minutes, and then game two took 40 minutes where it's like I was a little bit behind. I was way ahead. I got my opponent down to one, and then they ripped like Jace Goblin Dark Dwellers,
yeah.
And just like, and I lost, and it's like, you know, man.
One is not zero.
One is super not zero.
Learned that lesson many times speaking myself.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, so playing day one Magic versus playing day two Magic. A lot of people listening to the show haven't played any day two Magic / had to go through the grind of however many more rounds it was on day two. How do you feel it was your experience was different this time around?
I think in part it was like a little bit different because I ended up in that draw bracket first thing on day two. So I played three matchups of green-white tokens for the next three rounds.
Makes sense.
Because they draw a lot when they play each other. So I played like green-white tokens, which is a very close matchup, I think. Like I said, they have super diverse threats.
Yeah.
And it really is going to kind of depend on how you draw, like what you're going to draw, if you draw what you need against them. I would say that I was less stressed out because it was like, holy shit, I'm already here.
I've done what I came here to do.
Exactly. I did what I came here to do. But at the same time, like, I think after I won my first match of day two, and I was like, I am going to, like, do as best as I goddamn can.
I'm going to run this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I am in it to fight.
Yep.
I am, you know, tooth and nail. So.
In it to win it, but, mm-hmm. you know, not, yeah. like, win it, but do really good.
Yeah. One of my plays that I was, like, the most proud of, this
Hit
happened
me.
On day
Hit
two
me.
Against green-white tokens, is I was facing down, I was at something like 6 life, facing down an Avacyn, a Sylvan Advocate, and a plant token. I have a Kalitas and a Thought Not Seer in play. And I have a Gideon. I just draw a Gideon off the top. And I'm like, okay. And this goes back to like, what should you do with Planeswalkers? Like, it makes the most sense. It's like, oh man, I probably, like, I want to keep Gideon around, right? Like, that's a thing that I can leverage. But I was like, wait a second. If I just play Gideon and make an emblem, which is very strange for this deck because you don't have a ton of creatures. If I play it and make an emblem, my opponent was at something like 12, like they were not at 20. I was like, holy crap, my thought nut is a 5.5 and my Kali Toss is a 4.5, and that matches up really well.
Yep, sure does.
Against what my opponent is doing right now. Also if my opponent's creatures die, Avacyn doesn't flip because Kali Toss exiles them.
Yeah.
Which is very relevant. So I like play the Gideon and make an emblem, and I end up winning the game out from there, like a couple of turns later.
Pretty sweet.
And I just felt like so good about that play.
Yeah.
Just being like, do you know what? There were a lot of times this weekend when I think I did the opposite, when there was a very close sequence of cards or decisions and I got it wrong. Like being able to find the moments like that when I got it right.
Nothing like it.
Like felt so good. It was super cool.
Before the show, I was chatting with Maria.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to tell about her favorite play of the weekend.
Oh, yeah. What was Maria's favorite play? She I want to hear it. Make sure she mentions it.
She was really close to getting the win versus, this was, I think, a green-white token matchup.
Yeah.
Couldn't break through. Had a Gideon, was like, what should I do? What should I do? I have that Griff's Boon in the graveyard. Got some guy in the air, but it'd only be 4 power, and that's not enough to do the final 6 of damage or whatever it was. And then she thought, wait one gosh darn second. I can make Gideon a dude and put Griff's Boon on it. Nice. Had to go check with the judge that could be a thing that could happen. Sure enough, it was
very much a thing.
Gideon flew in there on the wings of a weird bird duck and won.
Awesome. That is a sick play.
Yeah. So that was a play I probably would have been, I mean, Maria probably would have been more familiar with had she practiced the deck more.
Yeah.
But seeing it in that moment was pretty gratifying.
That's awesome.
Well, congratulations to you on your 34th place finish.
Thank you so much.
You get some sweet, sweet cash money out of the deal.
Yeah.
Finishing higher than a lot of pro players, want to point out.
Yeah, well, everybody has their weekends.
And doing really well. So congratulations on your day 2 and your excellent finish.
Thanks, Steve. And same to you.
Let's pound it out. Everybody, that's Hey Bro, Let's Kick It for this week. I hope you enjoyed kicking it with us and our special guests, Megan and Maria.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty sick episode. If you'd like to check out more of our work, you know where to find us already.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you that.
We're not going
to
tell you.
We don't like to repeat ourselves.
Nope.
But if you're looking to check out more of Megan and Maria's stuff.
Oh, yeah. Check it out for sure.
Twitter at MTAcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On the internet at magictheamateuring.com.
Over email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com.
You can also support them, as you should do, patreon.com/MTAcast.
Mm-hmm.
Great rewards.
Get their podcast, Magic the Amateuring, on Stitcher, on iTunes.
Oh, yes.
Just on the internet.
On Google Play Podcast now.
Google Play Podcast. That's new. What?
Of course, Tulare Community College on YouTube every week.
Sick video.
You can see them and us, of course, if you want to see us. We are actually dressed as Steve and Steve because naturally, why wouldn't we be?
I'm always dressed as me. Why would I dress as anybody else?
I know, I'm just saying.
No, but why would I dress as not me?
Halloween. I don't know.
Man, do you know who I go for as Halloween?
Who?
Me.
Yep. Chill.
Hey, bro.
Let's kick it.
Let's kick it.